It's September 11th, 2026. But 25 years ago on this date, tragedy hit the United States, the mainland soil, like we have never seen it before. 3,000 Americans perished in the 9/11 attacks. So where were you? Well, Tom Karka was our news director at the time. He was here, and I was here on our FM station at the time, 92.1 FM. Why don't you tell us when you first, Tom's with me, by the way. Why don't you tell us the first time you heard about the attacks?
It was probably, we did have a TV on in the newsroom, and you know, you occasionally, while you're doing your normal work, you're looking up at the TV, seeing if, you know, anything's going on, but it didn't happen very often. And at one point, I looked up, and I'm seeing the World Trade Center, and there's smoke coming from it. And you start paying a little more attention to it. And as the morning went on, it got way more intense, and that drew our full attention to what was taking place over in New York. And it was a beautiful day in Racine and there.
I remember stepping outside. I had to go home and walk my dog. And I looked up, and I still remember this feeling. It was beautifully sunny. I said, how can this be happening today? It's such a beautiful... How did this happen?
Right. And, you know, you hear initially about a plane hit the World Trade Center. Well, your first thought is, yeah, it's an accident. You don't know. And then the word came out that another plane hit the other tower. Now you know you got a problem.
I was on the air doing traffic. Yeah, Metro Traffic was our traffic source at the time. And Mike Kristoff was with me. And in the middle of his traffic report, he stopped. And I said, hey, Mike, you there? He said, wait a second. And he had a TV monitor on, and he saw the plane go into the World Trade Center. Yeah. And he said, I got to call you back. We just had an accident at the World Trade Center. Then he was doing another report, and the second one hit. And now we knew it wasn't an accident. And then came the one in Washington, D.C., and the one in near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where the people took over the plane.
The interesting thing is that day, we would go to, at the time, ABC News for live coverage. But because of a little lawnmower incident in the backyard, and there was a cable that was not buried, at that time we had access through a cable, we couldn't get ABC's live feed on, as I remember this. So Ron Richards, our operations manager at the time, jerry-rigged a cable from the back of the TV in our newsroom, ran it down the hallway and into the control room, hooked it into the board, and that's how we got ABC News coverage.
You know, and everybody knows someone who was affected by the actual collapse of the towers. When I went to high school, two of my friends were the Guja twins, Gary and Jeff Guja. Well, unbeknownst to me, at the time, Jeff Guja became a lieutenant in the New York City Fire Department, and he died in the collapse of the towers. And I had since spoken to his brother, and he said, you know, when you lose a twin brother, it's, you know, really, it gets on you. But he said he died a hero. And I said, you know, he did. He did. And I remember the last time I saw the Guja twins was at one of our class reunions. We always call them the Guja twins. I mean, there's no single identity for one of these guys. It was the Guja twins are here. And I saw the picture of him in his uniform, a lieutenant in New York City Fire Department. And I was so proud of this guy. I mean, they said everybody was running away from the towers. First responders were running into the towers. That took a lot of guts, you know.
That's their training. That's what they do.
Yeah, and so he's remembered. His name is there at the base of the World Trade Center. That was such a horrible, horrible day.
It was a horrible, long, agonizing day in so many different ways for people. Jan Hoff, the story's out now. We've been married since 1984. She's home watching monitoring on her laptop.
Is this breaking news? You're married?
No.
Okay. All right.
And so at a point later in the morning, she comes in, and then we got to decide how we're going to do this. So at the station, I'm there making phone calls to, you know, local officials. Jan is out talking to people, and we're getting things on the air. But a long, long day. And then she's got to come in and do the afternoon shift after I'm done in the early afternoon. And the one thing that, first of all, I was concerned about how our son, Andrew, was going to take this, because this is major. So I was concerned for that. And then I get home, and then the one thing that just sticks out in my mind to this day, because all the airlines had been told, bring the planes down, land them. So there was no air traffic, and it was eerie, just silence. I will never forget that.
I remember, too, I was passing by the newsroom, and I was watching the TV, and that is the moment that the World Trade Center collapsed. And I was like, because as a kid, you know, growing up in the area, I remember them building that thing. And watching them build it from the ground up. And I remember, too, when they actually filmed the movie King Kong in 1976, they filmed it at the base of the World Trade Center, because King Kong was going to fall off the World Trade Center. And we were one of the sponsoring radio stations in New York. And we had these rock and roll parties in the middle of the night to we need thousands of people there for the final scene. And I'm thinking about all this. I'm watching the World Trade Center go down. I'm saying, how can this be? How can this happen? And then, of course, we beefed up security at the airports. And luckily, we've never had it again. But, you're never sure it can't happen again. So you got to be vigilant and not let you drive down.
Yeah, I seem to remember going to a city meeting. It might have been the council meeting that night. And afterward, starting to go back home. And I'm passing by a gas station. And there are long lines at the gas station. People were so afraid that they're loading up on gas in their vehicles and probably whatever else. That was eerie as well.
Yeah. I'm watching all the reports on TV, listening on radio to people talk about where they were. And they added an extra moment of silence this year during the ceremony at the World Trade Center. And the moment of silence is for the people who died from all the the asbestos and everything, all those toxins that fell on them when they escaped. A lot of first responders, a lot of people, the dust lady, they call her. She was covered in dust. I mean, all these people who died from the after effects, they're now being remembered starting this year at the World Trade Center base. So,
yeah.
Well,
it was a horrendous day. And I can remember 10 years later, May 1st, 2011, it was a Sunday. And there on the TV, they kept promoting the fact that the president was going to speak that night. Now, that's President Obama. And it's a major thing. And they kept promoting this hot and heavy. And Jan and I are home here thinking, well, what's this going to be about? And at some point toward the evening, it clicked in my head. They got bin Laden. And So I went into the station, and we interrupted programming and put the president on. He made the announcement, and they got bin Laden. And then we went back to regular programming.
Tom Carco, our former news director, joining me this morning. And it's 8:50. That means it's time for Mike Clemens. Okay, I talked to Tom Carco, our former news director, earlier this morning, because we were both working here in this building during 9/11. Where were you?
I was doing the morning show with Dan and Jane in Milwaukee on WMYX, and we saw the first plane go in, and we thought it was a Cessna. And then we, even though we were kind of a music station, we went all news. I later had a friend that said, I was down at a courthouse, and they had you guys on. And that's how we found out. So I felt pretty good about our coverage. But we opened up the phone lines, and we got tremendous phone calls. It was kind of a shared experience on the air. And then one of our listeners called and says, I'm a caddy at this golf course in Brookfield. I've got President Bush and Barbara Bush here, the father of the new president. Bush 41, he happened to have a speaking engagement the night before. Yeah, they're right here. We had to take him off the golf course. And they're sitting here waiting in the country club until they get further instructions. We've got a little bit of security detail here. Just incredible stories like that. John Ashcroft, the attorney general, was on his way to Milwaukee to read to school children, like President Bush was down in Florida when the planes collided. He had to turn around and come back. And my general manager came in and said, you guys are doing a great job of covering this. He says, is there anything I can do for you? I said, yeah. Do you know anybody in New York City? He says, as a matter of fact, I do. One of our sales reps, our national sales reps, he goes to his old Rolodex, gives me the card. I call this guy. He's six blocks away from the towers. So he's on his patio doing play-by-play for me from what he sees with the fires and everything, the chaos going on the towers. And then all of a sudden he says, you hear a knock at the door. He says, all right, we're being evacuated. He drops the phone and he walks out. And then the first tower collapses. I mean, just and through all this, you know, as America gathered itself to assess what happened in New York and the Pentagon, et cetera, New York City became a ghost town. Shows were canceled, games were canceled, et cetera. And we got the idea, like, you know, maybe we should go to New York City and see how things are. About a month after 9/11, we did a week's worth of shows. And the Waldorf Astoria put us up for free. We went to the Four Seasons in Central Park for dinner. The theme of the week's worth of shows was come back to New York. This is what New York needs now, is you to come back and when the shows start opening up and for the Christmas season and all, because it was, you know, the whole, all of Manhattan was left a ghost town. And it was still sort of that way. People found out that we were going to do this, and we started getting a bunch of attention. The week we were there was when Tom Brokaw opened up his secretary opened up an envelope with anthrax in it. You know, that craziness was going on.
Yeah.
And we're there in New York City, and we found out that the military, the Marines that were in charge of guarding the border around Ground Zero, were from Milwaukee and listened to our show. They took us down to Ground Zero.
Yeah.
And we saw it, everything.
Horrible times. But
unbelievable.
25 years ago. Wow. Glad we can all remember it and never forget. All right, Michael. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, Don. Have a good weekend, pal.
Okay. Mike Clemens, everybody.